Sam, what's popping?
Hey Nick, what's up?
How you feeling?
Oh, I am so good right now. So
Oh
good.
yeah.
How are you?
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Why are you so good?
Too. Why am I so good? I
Yeah.
don't know. Life's just good. Things are moving forward, helping people, you know.
Nice. That's awesome.
Just had a huge thing of coffee, so that's also an added bonus.
What kind of coffee?
It's from Colombia, actually. When I was there in February, I brought a bunch back, and I'm still eating, or not eating, I'm still grinding those beans and finishing it out.
Nice. I love to
Yeah.
hear that. What's your favorite method of brew?
Oh, I'm not even a coffee connoisseur at all, but I do love just straight up like using a like a Chemex, just like a pour over. So good. So cool
Nice.
and fresh. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
So
How
today, I guess I should give the introduction. I'm trying a new name. So today's first day, doing my new name, The Joy of Fitness
Ooh,
with Nick
love
Reese, a
it.
little spin on Bob Ross.
Yes.
I thought about that this morning as we were going over how to unrack a bar correctly. So,
That's
yeah.
awesome.
So we're here. Introduce yourself to everybody.
Okay. So my name is Sam Altieri. I am located in Boston. I'm a online fitness coach, and also I have some one-on-one clients as well. And I've been doing this for a little bit over 2 years, and I'm just like super excited to help more and more people build my audience and engage and connect with as many people as possible.
Nice. And me, for those of you who don't know, her real name is Salty. So I don't know a Sam, but I do know a Salty.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
we met at a fitness at a little workshop. There's like maybe 10 of us in New York with a bunch of other coaches who are awesome. Shout out to Jordan Syatt for putting that on. And then here we are,
Yeah.
lots of time later. So how'd you get into this?
Into the coaching world.
Yeah, coaching world, fitness world, everything. When was your first workout ever?
Oh my God. Well, I guess I grew up as an athlete. I started playing like soccer and softball, and I danced since I was in like preschool, you know. But never, it was always like in team sports. When I was in college, I played softball for my college. And after I graduated college, I was just feeling kind of meh. I had gained a good amount of weight from just not really taking care of myself and not prioritizing my health at all. Not sleeping, eating like out almost every meal, like eating a Twix bar a day, probably. I don't know. It was just like not good.
Oh my God, I love Twix.
Yeah, I did too. And so after a certain point, I was actually like riding my bike with a friend who said something to me. She was a little bit older. Oh, she's actually a good amount older. She said something to me like, "You look like, or you're in better shape than you look," or something like that. And I didn't really like understand what she meant at first. And then I thought about it the rest of the day, and I was like, "Holy shit,
Yeah.
she just insulted the crap out of me," but like kind of passive aggressively. And honestly, that comment really was such a like driving force in my fitness journey, because I had always like just after college, I just stayed away from the mirror, like didn't want to accept what really was happening. Kind of blamed it on genetics, told myself it wasn't in the cards for me, and I was like, whatever, I just am not gonna be that girl that I wanna look like, you know?
Yeah.
And that comment really like lit a fire under my ass, because she at the time, like she really, that person really meant a lot to me. And for her to say that, I was like, holy shit, I need to get my shit together, you know?
Right.
So it was almost immediately after that, like me and my roommate were like, we're gonna start following like a workout program. And we decided to wait. Is that your dog? First of all,
oh yeah, you hear that in the background?
That's amazing. Oh my god, I love your dog. By the way, that's Finn, right?
Yeah,
is that his name?
Yeah. He just woke up because I got on the phone and I'm bothering him, so he needs to get to work too.
Yeah, I freaking love him. He just looks like a stuffed animal.
I know he really is. He really does.
But yeah, so after that comment, I just started going to the gym with my roommate. We would always meet up every night after work, and it kind of turned into this thing where her and I both transformed our bodies in like the matter of like maybe 2 years. It took like a long time because we didn't know what the fuck we were doing.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, it turned into like, I want to get strong. I want to hire a coach.
Yeah.
I want to work with a trainer. And then it like just spiraled from there. Then I started getting inquiries from people to help them. And here we are.
That's awesome. So when that comment, because that seems like kind of a big deal. Like, how did you initially feel that somebody you looked up to, you were friends with? Are you still friends with them?
Not so much anymore, just because of like now that I'm just in a different like workplace.
Yeah.
So I don't see them anymore.
Okay.
So no like hard feelings, right? But just more like just not in the same environment anymore.
Yeah. So how did you initially take that? Because I know sometimes like people say stuff to you, you could be really negative and, you know, kind of bottle up, but it seems like you took that and used that as a positive change for you. I'm wondering kind of your thought process through that versus having a negative change. Like if somebody came to you and was like, you know what, my friend said this, I can't believe them. Like, how do you get to a positive point to make positive impact versus just like letting it all go to shit?
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Well, I think at first I did feel sorry for myself, and I just said like, you know what, like I'm just never gonna be that girl. I'm never gonna be that strong, you know, fast girl that I want to be. It's just not for me, you know. And I kind of accepted her comment as like, okay, yeah, that's it, Sam, you know, like,
yeah,
okay, just gotta deal with it. And I think the more that I thought about it, the more that I was like, I can make a decision here. I can either like accept that statement and just continue down that path, or I can take control, prove her wrong, and like make a change. And I think that it's something I had wanted for a while, but it wasn't until that like reality check almost where I was like, wow, actually, like maybe I did have a little bit of like body dysmorphia. Like I didn't think I was as out of shape as I was, if that makes sense.
Right.
And so I was like, no, it's not that bad. Like I was like hid under like baggy clothing and like wasn't really trying to take too many photos of myself, you know? But I think after I heard that comment, I was like, I wanted to like prove to her that I was strong and I
yeah.
was athletic, and I wanted my outward appearance to match kind of like the person I knew that I could, that I was inside. And I
yeah.
felt like at that time, like it was not, they were not, those two things were not in line at all.
Right. Right. And what about, so what was the first step that you took to be like, okay, this happened, like now I'm going to start. Like, what was the very first thing that you did?
So my roommate and I, we printed out a calendar and we posted it in our, like in one of our hallways. And every time we made a pact with each other, cause we both wanted to lose weight. I think I had more weight to lose than her, maybe like another 10 pounds than her, but, she and I were like, okay, we're going to do this together, because I knew that like I could let myself down, because it's way easy to like just procrastinate and let yourself down than
yeah.
it is to let someone else down. So we used each other as external accountability, and we printed out this calendar, and every time that we worked out, we would put a little check mark in like a certain color. So like mine was green and hers was like purple, I think. And we tried to fill the calendar with as many check marks. And what started happening was at first, you know, we'd go a few times a week and whatever, but it started turning into this thing where we wanted to continue the chain of check marks. Like, it was almost like a psychological thing. Like, we didn't mm-hmm. want to, like, make the month be empty. So we ended up turning the gym into, like, our social hour. Like, we would meet up, we would stretch and warm up, and then we would do a little lifting. Like, you know, not really, it wasn't really anything, like, substantive, but just something, you know, like some bicep curls or something.
Yeah.
Because we didn't know what we were doing. And then we would do cardio for an hour and, like, crazy people. And then we would stretch and, like, catch up on life and boys and all this stuff, you know. And that's it turned awesome. Into something that we looked forward to, because it was, like, it didn't feel like a chore. I mean, maybe it did at first, but it didn't feel like something, like, there's no enjoyment out of it. It was like, oh, I get to go see Kelly, you know, like, okay, cool. And it was, like, our time to catch up as friends.
That is amazing. There's a lot of good things that you just said that I want to touch on.
Yeah.
So the first thing being, you know, as coaches, of course, we're, like, the support system for somebody, you sure. know, to take them through this journey. So how important was it to have somebody else with there holding you accountable, keeping you, like, helping you through the way, supporting you, all that kind of things?
Honestly, I always talk to – so she's still one of my best friends.
That's awesome. What's her name?
Kelly.
Kelly. Hey, Kelly. Yeah.
I will send her a link to this. But she – I always tell her, like, dude, you were such a foundational part of my journey. And she feels the same way about me. Like, we would not be anywhere close to where we are if we didn't have each other when we first started, because it was each other that, like, held us accountable to getting into the gym. Even if we had a shitty workout or, like, didn't really do that much, it was still a matter of, like, the action of getting there.
Right.
Because we knew the other person was waiting, and you can't let someone else down. It's, like, way harder to do that than let yourself down.
Exactly.
So 100%, her being at the gym waiting for me, or me being at the gym waiting for her, was awesome. Because, you know, if I was feeling unmotivated, she would probably be motivated, and vice versa. So we kind of worked together as a team to stick with it.
That's so awesome. Yeah. Do you guys still work out together?
So she's in Miami now.
Miami. Fancy, huh?
Yeah, she's so fancy. when I do go visit her, though, or she visits me, like, we always end up working out together. And it's so nice, because we're both so much stronger, obviously. And, like, we both have progressed so much from back in, like, this was, like, 2013 when we started our, like, fitness journey. And it's amazing to see, like, the strength gains, the aesthetic gains, the performance gains, all that since we started together. And it's really cool because we kind of have the same timeline. And yeah.
That is awesome. And next thing I wanted to ask, this is why I love doing podcasts, because you find, like, so many little things. You're like, oh, that probably works. So the physical check-in of actually having to, like, write something down physically that you could see versus, I don't know, like, checking in, like, on your phone or something automatic. Do you think that played a big role in actually having to put, like, that pen to paper and check it off?
For me, yes. And that's because I'm a very, like, visual person. I mean, that was mm-hmm. my background is in architecture. So, like, I have that design side. And so does Kelly. She did undergrad in architecture as well. Mm-hmm. So the two of us being visual learners and responding to things visually, it is way more effective for me to put the pen to paper. Even if it's not faster, it's more effective. So I think yes. And I have a lot of my clients do the same thing still now. I have them print out a calendar, and whether it be, I don't know, whether their goal is to, like, eat veggies with every meal or have lean protein with every meal, but, like, checking off those days when you're doing the things that you need to get done.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I think I'm going to start putting that in. Make people literally write something down.
Yeah.
And yep. So talk about this. So the action of getting there and, like, actually getting to the gym and just making it there. if, like, how do you do that for your online clients?
Well, they have to like check into their workout, you know, so I see if they're not in the gym. Like if I've seen that they've missed a few workouts, I'm like, hey, what's up?
Right.
I'm over here. I can see, you know, and not in a malicious way at all, but more just like checking in to make sure everything's okay.
Right.
First of all. And second of all, just holding them accountable, you know, whether it be like trying to dig deep and find out what's going on. Like, do you have a lack of motivation? Is that because you're not seeing progress? Like, what's the reason behind why you aren't in the gym or why you aren't working out, and feeling like you're kind of behind or, you know, not on track? And then trying to mitigate that and figure out ways to work around it or to regain the motivation or to kind of explore and find out, like, okay, maybe you need to revisit your quote unquote your why, you know, like, why did you start this in the first place? So I think it's a lot of mindset, you know.
So say they're unmotivated and not seeing progress, like, what are the key things that you do to kind of get them back on track?
So this has happened with a lot. I mean, almost every one of my clients, they're going to go through this. And I go through this too. I'm sure you have too. It's like,
oh yeah. This is a common thing, by the way, like, not motivated and not seeing progress is, don't think that this isn't you or this can't happen to you, because it happens to literally everybody. So,
oh yeah. Like, you should expect it. And if it's not happening, then that's, something's wrong. You know, like, you're not going to be always motivated. It's just not how it works. But what you need to have is discipline, right? So you don't have the discipline to stick with it through the hard times and through the lack of progress, because progress, as we know, is not really linear. And you're going to go through phases where you take like 5 steps forward and like 10 steps back, and then you take 3 steps forward and 1 step back. But as long as you're trending in the forward direction, that's awesome. But I think that finding the discipline and really the thing for me is remembering why. It's so simple, but like really, really, really digging deep. Like I have a client actually. She was feeling super unmotivated. She was getting into the gym, but she wasn't following her diet, and her biggest goal was fat loss. And I was like, look, I'll shout her out. Her name's Julia. She's an amazing, amazing person.
Hey, Julia, you're amazing. I can't wait to meet you one day.
She was doing her workouts. She was running on her own. She was getting into the gym, but she was having the hardest time with diet. And she actually just got married last weekend. And so when we had this little like encounter, I was talking to her and she was like, I don't know. I just can't do it. This, that. And what it took was us stopping our workout mid workout and just talking about it, you know, like a friend, like, hey, what's up? Like, why did you want to start training with me? You know, like, why did you come into the gym? And as she was telling me, she actually like had this realization, that she was in the gym in the more recent times because she wanted to do it for herself, because she was happy and she just wanted to better herself.
Right.
But in the past, she used working out as like a coping method or like a way to mitigate problems in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And now she was in the gym because she was so happy with her life and her husband to be and this new found Julia, that like she kind of forgot why she was there in the first place, like why she actually wanted to lose weight and why she was doing what she was doing. And it was funny and really actually amazing. I wish I had recorded our conversation, but she had this epiphany as we were talking, and it was so fucking cool to see it happen. Because, and she doesn't even know how cool I think it is, even though I tell her how much of a badass she is all the time, but she like had this realization. And after that point, it was insane. Since then, she's lost like, I don't know, 5 to 10 pounds I worked out with her this morning at 6 a.m. She's lifting heavier weights than she's ever lifted, and she is crushing her meal prep. She weighed in at a new all-time low on her wedding day. She ran a 10K on the morning of her wedding.
What?
And PR'd, and it was the hardest race she said she had ever run. Like,
oh my gosh.
Her mindset just totally made like a 180. And it was because she remembered why she started. Like, why she signed up for the gym, why she signed up for training with me, why she hired me, and why she's still working together. And it was so cool. Like, oh God, I'm getting emotional. But like, she's an amazing person. And like, this happened all because of this like conversation in this like kind of not sketchy, but this weird hallway in the gym where you're not supposed to go and work out. But sometimes I take my clients there because I want space for them.
Yeah.
And it was in that hallway that she had this moment, this like totally cool turning point moment.
That is, I think that gets overlooked a lot in like why you started in the first place.
Yeah.
Because then that, if you could really dig down, so what, like wherever you're at, you know what, I'm going to do this for myself because this will definitely help me, Paul, and I'll make sure Finn does it too, but literally write down why we started working out and why we're doing this. And then just coming back to it, because I think a lot of times, like especially if you make progress and then you stop making progress, you get a little taste. It's like, I don't know, I've never won the lottery, but I imagine, you know, you get a lot of money and then you're like, oh, you know what, I'm gonna just go out and just buy everything. But then you don't remember, you know, how hard you work to save everything, and then, you know, right, a year later you have nothing again.
Yeah.
And then, you know, breaking that vicious cycle, you know, the diet cycle of going up and going down. And I think that is amazing.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's so like, I think once I started realizing that that's the question that you have to ask yourself, when you're in that low point, you know, then that's where I really was able to intervene and help my clients the most. I've had that happen to like 5 or 6 of my clients, even in the past few months, where they were just at a lull, they weren't seeing progress, they were unmotivated. And I was like, look, you know, like, I'm not so much of a serious person. I'm very, you know, I'm serious with my work in terms of like wanting to work hard and stuff. But I like to joke around and have fun, but also work hard. And I just got really serious with them. I'm like, look, why the fuck are you wasting your time if you're only going to half-ass what you're doing? You know,
exactly.
If you're going to do something, you just got to do it, because it's going to feel like you're working hard, but you're not seeing any progress. And that is the most unmotivating thing ever. You know, if you're working, but you're only working like 75%, so you're not going to see progress if you're only giving it 75%. And then that's going to make you want to give 0%.
Exactly.
So taking like a shorter term approach, like, okay, we're going to do like 4 weeks of more intensive focus on diet. I want you to really stick to your diet, tracking your calories, making the most of your weekends, not going apeshit on the weekends, you know, and see what you can do in 4 weeks. If you give them that smaller time frame, I found that it's way more approachable and people are way more willing to be able to say, okay, like a 4 week thing or a 6 week thing is way more manageable, psychologically even, than forever.
Right. That is, that is awesome. These time frames, this is gold here, Salty. This is amazing gold. What?
So much gold.
So much gold. So how important do you think it is maybe to address those issues kind of before they happen, or just at random times, even if they're seeing a lot of progress, like reinstilling like the why and, you know, the whole journey they're on and where they're going to, like even before it gets to a point of a plateau or something like that?
Oh, that's a great question. I think that sometimes it's hard to prevent it. Mm-hmm. It's because you just don't know, right? Like, everyone's going to have these hiccups in their journey and in life. And, you know, whether it be some, like, they say, like, a family member goes through an illness or, like, passes away or a good friend is lost or something, right? Like, there's always going to be those lulls. And you can't really plan for them because you just don't know. But I think the best thing I can say is like to prepare for them. So understanding that it's okay to not be perfect and to not do everything 100% all the time. But it's more just about like being consistent over time rather than trying to be perfect some of the time.
Right. That makes sense. That definitely does. And why is that?
I mean, at the end of the day, if you are 80-20-ing, right? Let's just say you're eating clean and healthy whole foods 80% of the time, and then you're having fun foods 20% of the time, but you're doing that 100% of the time, okay, that's going to be way more sustainable and maintainable in the long term, because you're not going to feel like you can't have any fun and you can't live your life.
Right.
But like if you're like, okay, I'm going to eat clean 100% of the time. Okay, sure, you'll do that maybe for, I don't know, a few days, a week, maybe a few weeks if you're lucky. But then that binge and that return on restriction is going to be so intense that it's going to be such a low point, you know, in the average of it, of like those data points, that it's going to totally knock you off track.
Right. Right.
So, I've been there. I've been in the like clean eating, or like, I'm going to do 2 days. I'm going to work out twice a day and I'm going to eat clean.
Oh my God. When was the last time you worked out twice a day?
I mean, that happens sometimes now.
Really?
Because I teach some classes, and then sometimes I'll work out. So if I'm teaching the class and doing the class with my clients, then sometimes that'll happen. But I don't do it intentionally. Yeah. You know, it's not like I'm like, I need to work out twice a day.
Yeah. Oh
my but there God. Was totally a point where I was like, I want to do 2 days and I'm going to eat clean. And what happened? What do you think happens? Like, I was eating, I fucking ate like a half a chocolate cake on the weekend, you know, and like, and then I felt like shit. And I'm like, this is not a sustainable way to live. You know, I'd rather just have like a bite of cake every day.
Yeah, exactly. So, I have a client who eats, her name's Olga. She came, she eats, she was eating cake like every day, like a half of a cake every day.
Yeah.
It was insane. So we switched. We're down now to chocolate. So she's eating a chocolate bar each day and not a half a cake. So she's making a lot of progress.
Hell yeah. Actually, that's funny you say that with the chocolate bar. I have a client that her weakness was chocolate. And she told me, she's like, we were just talking about like, what's the biggest thing you struggle with? And she's like, it's definitely the sweet tooth. Like, so I was like, okay, like what's, you know, what do you do? Like, tell me what your sweet tooth outlet is. And she's like, chocolate, all the, like, hands down chocolate. She's like, I have a chocolate bar a day. And I was like, okay, that's okay. Why don't we do this? Let's knock you down to 3/4 of a chocolate bar a day. All right. So it's like, do you think you can do that on a scale of 1 to 10? How confident are you that you can do that just for a week? So she's like, yeah, I can do it. I think I can do that. So we met up the week following, or we checked in the week following, and she successfully did it. She did 3/4 of a chocolate bar. The next week we did a half. The next week we did like a third, and then a quarter. And then we substituted the chocolate bar for some tea. And now she's not eating chocolate.
And wow.
That is like 200 to 300 calories a day that she's not eating. From a food that wasn't satiating her to begin with, you know, that was just like this mental thing that now she's having tea. So she's actually getting more hydrated and eating less calories from something that doesn't have the best micronutrients or, you know, best quality of food.
Right.
And the key, I think, is like gradual change. You know, it's hard to just be like, okay, well, we're not going to eat chocolate again this week, okay? Because that's going to be hard.
Yeah. Oh, it's so hard to just go cold turkey and anything.
Yeah. So I think that doing it in a smart way, like very gradual and slow, is the best way. You know, it's like, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. As cliche as that is, it's the freaking truth, you know?
Yeah. And how important do you think food quality is?
Do you mean in terms of like whole foods versus?
Yeah.
So I think that there needs to be room for those fun foods. Like I really, really do. Whether you eat 90% clean and 10% fun, or 85-15, 80-20, I would say 80-20 is like a good, happy medium for people. I find that I actually feel better more like 85-15, mm-hmm. Or maybe even closer to 90-10. And that's because I have such a sensitive stomach. Mm-hmm. So I have a really hard time, actually, because I'm lactose intolerant. And I think I have IBS. And so there's like a lot of things that really affect my stomach negatively. So I have to be very careful of that. But I find that like food quality generally just makes me feel better. So if I'm eating mostly whole foods and a shit ton of veggies, lean protein, I find that my how I feel, my energy, my skin, everything is so elevated. But then, like, I want to enjoy the occasional, like, bagel, donut, you know, meal out and not feel bad about it, like some sushi, because I love those things. But right. I tend to eat very regimented and structured through the week so that I can be more flexible on the weekends, because that's when usually if I'm going to meet up with friends, it's going to be on a weekend. And I want to take into account that, okay, I might go over, I probably will go over my calories on the weekends. So let's tone it back a little and be more structured, have more guidelines during the week so that I don't totally like fuck up all my progress.
Right. Exactly.
And I do that, use that same principle for most of my clients, because it's the same way, you know?
Yeah.
Most people are enjoying their fun on weekends and not going crazy on weekdays.
Right.
So I try to help promote that, like, more structure during the week so that when you do have fun on weekends, you don't have to feel bad about it, you know? It's like, okay, yep, I accounted for this throughout my week.
Right. So how do you measure yourself in 80-20? Like, if I'm just starting out and I'm like, okay, I see the 80-20 rule, I see what it is, but mm-hmm. How do you do it yourself? Is it literal, like, you literally divide, like, 3 meals 7 times a day, like that? Or how do you kind of do it for yourself?
So it's funny, because I actually just made an infographic on this, which I'm going to post. So I actually like know the amount of meals, but say like you're eating, say you eat 3 meals a day, mm-hmm. that's 21 meals a week. Mm-hmm. That means that you can eat 4 quote unquote like unhealthy meals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you eat 4 unhealthy meals in a week, that means like you could have a date night, you could have lunch with your coworkers, you could like catch up with friends one night, and maybe you go to like brunch. All right. If you're doing that, but you're consistently eating healthy the rest of the week within your calorie budget, and taking into account that, then you're going to be fine. So I would say like there's room for 3 to 4 meals that are kind of not planned into your meal prep.
Right.
I don't like do math, but I would say mm-hmm. generally my fun meals are just all on the weekends because I'm so structured throughout the week. But that's not the case for most people because they're usually working a 9-to-5 and they go out with coworkers after work sometimes on Thursday or Friday, or, you know, someone brings in food for the office. And so there's those times that happens. So they have to be more careful or selective on how they want to spend their calorie budget.
Right. Right.
But I think it's just a matter of planning. You know, if you know that there's going to be sandwiches brought into the office that come with the chips and a cookie and a brownie and a soda, how are you going to tackle that challenge? Are you going to eat all of that? Or are you just going to have the sandwich and the drink? Or are you going to like take the bread off the sandwich and have the chip, you know, like making a plan so that you don't feel like, oh, work just sabotaged my fat loss.
Right. And one thing I notice, you always say fun meal.
Yeah.
What's fun food? What's fun meal? Why is it not a cheat or, I don't know what else. I don't know. Why is it fun and not anything else?
Because it is fun. Like, I don't.
Because it is fun. I love it.
No, for real, though. Like, I don't know where or who came up with the word, like, cheat food. Because that associates, like, a negative connotation with food. And food is not meant to be something that causes us stress or anxiety. And I have been in a place where I did see food as something that was bad. Like, I was like, I can't eat donuts, because donuts were like my weakness at one point. Like, I can't mm-hmm. eat Oreos. Oreos were also one of those other things that I just loved and couldn't get enough of. And as soon as I changed my mindset a little bit to like, no, they're just like fun food that you can enjoy. Usually these foods are like colorful with like sprinkles or like cereal. I don't know.
Ooh, they're I love usually... rainbow sprinkles.
Yeah, me too. And they are fun. Like, so I just see them as, okay, like they're fun foods and we can enjoy them in moderation. As long as, you know, you're including them regularly into your diet in moderation, you won't feel the need to eat the entire box of cereal or, like, an entire row of Oreos or 10 donuts at a time, you know? Because you're not going to want to do that because you're not going to feel good after.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, fun food because it's fun.
I love it. I love it. What? So, you're an architect. And
yeah. Well, was, I would say. I think I just made that transition.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Like within the past month.
Oh, well, details.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much, I was an architect I was an architectural designer because I did not have my license, but I was designing full time, transitioned to online coaching. Short story. But now I'm like full-time fitness and I want to keep it that way. I might have some side design work just, you know, mostly for fun and because I enjoy it, but I am like full-time, full-blown, balls to the walls online coach. And it's been amazing. Like even in this past 2 to 3 weeks that I've been full-time this, I have been able to produce and create so much content and I'm so excited about it.
That is true. I've been noticing you've been posting a lot more.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Cause I've now my time can be spent in one avenue and it was really hard for me to do both things. I was just talking to one of my best friends about that yesterday, like living this like split dual life, you know, where
it's like I'm you're Batman or something. Trainer.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I have two masks and I put them on.
That's awesome. Oh my gosh. So you guys, I'm going to put all your stuff in here. We're not done yet. I'm just letting everybody know. You're going to follow her. She's Salty Lifts. Yeah. I told you her name is not Sam. So you're going to go that, follow her, show her some love. She, if you're listening and you need a coach, hit her up. She just made the transition full time. So we're going to support her 100%.
Hell yeah, Nick.
And let's go.
Man, like.
Let's go.
Yes.
What? So what? Well, this might be an awkward question now. So how does architecture relate to fitness?
That's a great question. And it's actually something that I've spent a lot of time thinking about and writing about. I've been doing a lot of writing in the past probably year, but more so like few months. And so I was actually just on Nicole's podcast, the Finding Your Strength podcast, yesterday or the day before. And she asked me.
Shout out to Nicole.
Yeah. She's an amazing mom with an amazing bod. So the reason why I wanted to be an architect was because I wanted to help people. And what I found out, unfortunately, I mean, there's a lot of things that I'm happy about and I couldn't have been any more grateful for my education because it taught me how to think and how to design and stuff. But I was not able to really do that in the architecture world in which I was like existing. So my reach and my engagement was so small compared to what I knew it needed to be and kind of the reason why I'm here, like my purpose on earth. And I just felt that pushback a lot after a few years of being in a firm and designing and making these cool buildings, but like it wasn't helping people the way that I thought I was going to be helping people. I thought I was going to be helping people in like third world countries and building these cool structures, and that's not what happened at all. So what did happen though was like while I was in the architecture world, I was transforming my own body, going through my own fitness journey. And that's when people started asking me for help and I started helping people. And I realized just how fulfilling that was and how many people I was connecting to. It was insane. Like I started an Instagram maybe in like 2016, but it was just like for my own, like just me posting selfies and pictures of my food and me working out just for myself, like as like a personal journal. And I was really scared to do that because I was like, I don't want people to think I'm like a fitness freak and like people are going to judge me and this and that. And but I just did it. And I think I left it private for a while because I didn't want anyone to find out.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then it turned into people finding it. And I was really annoyed because I was like, no, what? This is for me. And then it was like one thing kind of led to the next. And people are reaching out to me to help them and to like write them programs and to help them with diet and like, how do I lose weight? And it all spiraled and created this crazy, like built up energy. And I was trying to like resist it for so long. I was like, no, Sam, like you are a designer. No. And finally I just was like, fuck it. Like I should just try it. So I ended up being asked by the gym that I was going to, if I wanted to be a trainer, because they kind of saw my physical transformation. And I was like, what? I don't know. So they told me what I had to do. I had to get my certification and study and do all this stuff. So I was like, okay, you know what? The worst thing that can happen is I don't use it. You know, whatever.
That's true.
It's a cool thing to do. So I decided to say, screw it, let's go for it. So I did it. And then kind of like the rest is history. I think the amount of people that I was able to help within like 3 months was so insane to me and so fulfilling that I was like, this is what I got to do. This is it. Like, I know it. There was no holding back. And I just said, fuck it. And I decided to just quit my job and go for it. And now we're here.
That is, oh my God. So I was going to think maybe we should save this part for another episode we get, but then I'm like, why would we save it if we could do it now?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
When you quit your job, so kind of walk us through. So say I have, you know, somebody listening who was doing the same thing you were. They were, you know, had a full-time job and then were training, trying to do that full-time too.
Yeah.
Like, how did you do that transition? Like, did you just jump into it? Did you plan through it? Like, what was kind of your thought process?
So I actually started online before I started in person, which I don't recommend because it's really hard to be. I would always recommend if you are interested in being an online coach that you need to work in a gym and you need to work with people one-on-one before you do that, because you will not be a good coach if you do not. And the reason why I say that is because you can make this wonderful plan, this bulletproof plan, right? But you don't actually know how someone's body reacts or how someone questions an exercise or all these limitations, progressions, regressions of things until you really get hands-on with someone. And you also learn how to talk with people and work them through things and be a coach and be a mentor and an accountability partner and like kind of a therapist, you know? I think that I started online because I had one girl who's a good friend of mine. She asked for help and I was like, you know what? Let's just do this. We'll do a monthly thing. I'll write you a program every month and I'll help you with diet. And that was like the little spark I needed. And then I had a few other people that were interested. So I created this like 8-week program. I took pictures of myself doing the exercises and made a PDF and then got people to do this like 8-week Kickstart program that I'd created. And then that kind of propelled me into making a little bit of money, but not really that much, and still working as in the architecture firm. And then as soon as they asked me to be a trainer in the gym, I was like, okay, like, I think I can do that. Like, sure. So I worked like very minimal hours at first. And then I started slowly adding more and more hours until I just couldn't do both anymore. And I decided to say like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna leave. I'm just gonna see how this goes. And I was like, the worst thing that can happen is this isn't for me, and I go back to working in a firm, because it's not like I left on like bad terms, you know, like I left in a positive light, like because this is whatever. This, go and explore it. If I don't try this now, I maybe never will.
Right. And
I just thought like nothing's permanent, you know, it's I could always go back. It's not it's not like this is a permanent decision. So I think having that mindset of saying, okay, this doesn't need to be forever if I don't want it to be, was what.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's so awesome. That's so refreshing. I love it. I'm all in for anybody wanting to quit whatever they're doing and do exactly what they want to do.
Yeah. If I could actually like feel like that could be a profession in itself, you know, like helping people get from 9 to 5s to entrepreneurship. And obviously
that is...
there is business coaches out there, but I do feel that it changed my life so much in such a positive way. And I've been able to change other people's lives in such a positive way that I just want to help people be able to do that for other people too.
Oh yeah. It's amazing. I was working at a gym down the road and I just got tired of it.
Yeah.
And it maybe happened in like 1 week. Like I'm not a planner at all. I'm like the anti-planner.
Yeah.
Like when we went to New York, the fact that I had to like have a plan to go, I was like, oh, that stresses me out. Like, if there's plans, I'm getting stressed out. Like
yeah.
If there's no set plan and everything's chaos, I'm like, okay, I could deal with this. And I came home one day. I was probably drinking every night. I'd come home, just, you know, you have like an hour, 2 hour commute one way.
Yeah.
You need a drink from the morning commute, a drink from the evening commute, a drink from the day, and then just want to relax. Yeah. So it's like four drinks a night. And I finally, Paula goes, she's like, I think you're drinking a little too much. I was like, you think? She's like, yeah, you've been drinking every night for a long time. I was like, have I?
Oh, shit.
She's like, yes. Yeah. And then I look at our liquor car. I love whiskey. I love bourbon. I just enjoy it.
Yeah.
But then I realized, I was like, oh my God, I'm moving through some stuff. So I was like, all right, I think that's it. I'm done.
Wow.
I was like, we'll figure the rest out. And then I went in, put in my notice, and that was that.
Wow. That's amazing, Nick.
But it was, it's so funny. Like, you don't realize those little things are coming, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's there.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
oh my God, well, I'm so proud of you for taking that leap too.
It's fun. I love it. So now I'm like, I'm that annoying friend where people are like, I hate my job. I'm like, why don't you just quit then?
Yeah.
You just gotta be the provoker. It's not that easy. I'm like, actually, it is.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's not. I'm like, I had all of the same responsibilities as you. Right. Just fucking quit.
Yeah.
Call it a day.
I mean, it's easier said than done, especially if you have financial obligations, if you have a family, you know, it's like there is things you have to think about, but you can make it work. Anyone can. If you want it bad enough, you can fucking make it work.
Yes. Yes. How important is, because you start online, how important was the starter program for somebody new looking to get into online coaching to having like an 8-week starter program for people? Would you say that's like a need?
No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think it was just like a way for me to get some conversation going. And mm-hmm. also it's kind of a weird thing when you as a person like change. It was almost like I felt like I was having an identity change because everyone knew mm-hmm. me as a designer. And then all of a sudden I'm like now coaching fitness and like, what does that even mean? Like, who are you? Like, are you legit? You know, are you just trying to take my money? And that's like the opposite. I wanted to just give as much content out and just help as many people and just show them like, no, I'm just trying to lead by example here and I want to help you guys. And so that was kind of, that was the reason why I started it, because I didn't know how to reach people without having like a physical thing. And I think that's just my, like the architectural side of me, like wanting a physical or like a tangible thing mm-hmm. to follow. I don't think it's a tool that everyone needs. It worked for me.
Right.
So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And what does being a coach mean to you?
Oh my God. We're going to be on the phone for like another 3 hours.
So this is officially part one.
Yeah. Right. Being a coach mean to me, well, it's like, this is so cheesy, but it feels like the most fulfilling and satisfying job that anyone in the world could have.
That's not cheesy at all.
Well, that's
the complete opposite of cheesy.
So what is that? Like salsa-y or like lactose-free-y?
I'd say wood. I'd say the opposite of cheesy is wood.
Wood?
Wood.
I don't... Okay, well, we'll leave it like that.
That's what she said.
I love it. Yeah, I think that it just doesn't feel like a burden or a job or something I don't look forward to. I genuinely love connecting with people and talking with people and getting other people connected and getting people excited about themselves and their progress and just feeling positive. And I didn't think that I could do those things and make a living until now. And like, for anyone that thinks it's not possible, it so is. It is so possible to do that. But I think that there's a lot of value in doing what you love and then turning that into like a passion, like just doing what you're really good at and then turning it into a job rather than trying to like find your passion. You know, it's like, no, just what are you good at? What are you good at? You know, like make a list and then, okay, what do you want to get better at? And then do that thing a lot, accumulate a lot of hours and a lot of time on it. And what's going to happen is you're going to get really good at it and people are going to ask you for help. And when people ask you for help, it makes you feel good because you can help them and you feel like you can contribute in some meaningful way. And when you can do that, there's no better feeling in the world, you know, just being able to help someone do something. We're hardwired to do that. And so I think once I realized that I could do that, I was like, shit, I just gotta go. I gotta go for it. Like, no holding back. All in. This is it.
That is so amazing. Oh, I love that. I'm literally smiling ear to ear right now.
I can tell. And are you wearing your America headband or whatever you're
wearing? I wear all day. I live in Maryland. You know how hot it is here? I feel like I live in Africa.
Do you wear them every day? Do you wear it every day?
I do. You want to know how it starts? So I sweat like a monster. Oh, I sweat like the abominable snowman in Kenya. And I just can't. And so I bought one. I was like, all right, I'm going to wear this. Because I had a couple like different styles and different materials.
Yeah.
And then I found Sedora is the headband that I wear, and I found it. It's 100% terry cloth, and it's 2-inch wide, so it's kind of pretty thick.
Yeah.
And it just feels good. It feels snug on your head. Like, it feels like it's keeping your head together. I don't know if that sounds weird.
No, I got you.
And so then I was like, okay, this is cool. So then I bought like 20 more. I have headband. Well, so Finn, when I'm not giving him enough attention, he'll go grab my headband and like bring it to me, being like, God, I'm gonna, he'll look at me like, I will tear this up if you don't start rubbing me.
Right.
And so then I do, but then I have headbands, like he'll run upstairs, grab a headband and bring it back down. So then I find him so I find him in random places. Like last night I went outside and he took one outside. I wasn't even home, but he'll like lay with it. Like if he's laying down, it'll be like under his paw, like little things like that. So yeah, but no, that's it. It keeps the sweat out and it's, you know, purely performance based. It's, you know,
it's so awesome. It just like makes you, you know, it's like one of those, it's just good. It's so good.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome. So did you have any last words you wanted to leave everybody with?
I would say when you are in a rut, remember your why, because that's going to propel you through all the hard times.
Yes.
And find someone to keep you accountable that you enjoy talking with and working with, whether it be a coach. But that external accountability is everything. You know?
Yes.
The cool thing like right now is I do have a coach, but I also have everyone like in my community. In a way, they they keep me accountable because I have to be a good example, right? So I'm still living my life, but I'm also an example for a lot of people. And so that makes me want to be better every day. So having that accountability is going to be what propels you through to success for sure.
Yes. I love it. Oh, yay. You're so awesome. Thanks Dude, for getting so on today.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Tell everybody where they can find you. I'm going to put all this in the episode links and all sure. that too.
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram. It's at salty, like not pepper, but salt, salty, lifts, like I lift weights, not lips, like my mouth. reason being is because when I made my handle, everyone calls me salty because Sam Altieri, S Altieri, S salty. So yeah, so salty lifts. Yeah. And then you can find my website. It's www.balancewithsam.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm not on Twitter because I just don't like, I just don't get, I mean, I
get. You need Twitter, to get on Twitter.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe. I'm trying to just crush it on Instagram and Facebook for now, and then I might expand. And then I am going to be actually starting my podcast as well. And so that's going to be on Anchor and iTunes, and that will be Balance with Sam. So
yes, so follow yeah. those links yeah. go to her profile, like it, follow her, give her shout outs, lots of love. You need a coach, you love her, hit her up.
Yes, so
we're gonna be getting it in.
The more people the merrier. I love connecting with people and just like being crazy and stupid on my stories and showing you guys like a look into my life, lifting, eating, everything, giving you all help. So yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming. I'm going to publish this today. It'll be up.
Awesome.
Let's go. Thanks for joining the Joy of Fitness with me.
Hell yeah, Nick. So, so excited to see all of your future endeavors. I can't wait to crush it with you again when we meet up. And keep wearing that freaking headband because it's like so – it's going to be like burned into your brain.
I might get a tattoo. Like 70. Might get a tattoo of it.
You just like get it on your head. You don't even need to wear one anymore.
I love it. Let's go.
Alrighty. Well, thank you so much again for having me. It's been awesome. And I will talk to you soon.
Let's go. Have fun. I'll see you later.
Okay. Sounds good. Bye.